Benny? Benny? Benny?
Sheldon! What is it?
Leonard's asleep.
Thanks for the update.
No, wait. You have to drive me to work.
Yeah, I really don't think I do.
But I don't drive, and I can't take the bus.
All right, honey, you'll be fine as long as you don't do that bungee cord thing, okay?
Penny! Didn't you recently state that you and I are friends?
Yes, Sheldon, we are friends.
Then I hereby invoke what I'm given to understand as an integral part of the implied covenant of friendship. The favor.
Oh, dear God.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was interrupting your morning prayers. When you're done, we'll go.
Well, if you can't do Sheldon, you better find an exit, because it's all today. It's all about Sheldon today. Well, you got to love Sheldon. If you're not familiar with that scene, that's from probably one of the most popular shows on television right now, The Big Bang Theory. And Sheldon is the one that's asking for a ride. He's a genius, but he lacks common sense and a lot of social behavior awareness. So that's Sheldon and Penny, and we're going to spend a little time with them this morning. We are continuing in the sermon series, The Larger Story, as Kimberly has talked about already this morning. We are really trying to find our story inside this larger story that was written millennia ago. We talked about creation last month. In the last few weeks, we started to talk about rebellion. And last week, Bob gave a great message on pride and how that is perhaps the sin that is most powerful in our rebellion. This morning, we're going to take a broader look at how, in the midst of our rebellion, we need to make sure that we're continuing to ask for help and recognizing the warning lights. Father, thank you for the opportunity that each one of us have this morning to come into your house and to speak your name and to worship without fear of persecution. Lord, I just pray for all those in our church family today that whether they're here or whether they're traveling or whether we just haven't seen them in a while, that your spirit may stir within them this morning, and that whether there are words that they hear or if they're visiting another church or if they're just sitting on the couch this morning, that you deliver a message to them that is going to be encouraging and that is going to lead them on a path to be closer to you. Amen. So Psalm 139, we read it a little earlier, is one that many of you recognized when it was read. It begins with, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me." It talks about the Lord always being present, knowing our thoughts, knitting us together in the womb. Yet it ends with a plea to search us, to test us, to show us what is going on. David is asking Lord God to turn on his warning lights, if needed. Do you think that David wishes that in his lifetime, he would have paid a little bit more attention to the warning lights on his dash? David knows that he needs to examine himself to see and to know his sins. David also knows that he needs help in the process. Just like driving a car, we have to make sure that we're paying attention to the warning lights in our spiritual life.
Thank you for driving me to work.
You know this is my day off, Sheldon.
Oh, good. I'm not keeping you from anything. Your check engine light is on.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that's an indicator to, you know, check your engine.
It's fine. It's been on for like a month.
Well, actually, that would be all the more reason to, you know, check your engine.
Sheldon, it's fine.
If it were fine, the light wouldn't be on. That's why the manufacturer installed that light, to let you know it's not fine.
Maybe the light's broken.
Is there a check the check engine light light?
I am an expert ignoring lights on my dash. As technology has gotten smarter, the cars have gotten smarter, and it used to be easy to just ignore the check engine light because it's just a light. But now my car is smart enough to tell me when it needs an oil change. And I'm not sure if any of you are like me. I fully take that as a suggestion and not a command, right? I mean, 3,000 miles. I mean, you've had to change your oil for 3,000 miles for the last 100 years. That's got to be a suggestion. I put high mileage oil in my car. I actually did an experiment in my most recent time. I came up with a hypothesis that at 6,000 miles it would turn off because I've now doubled the suggested. And I can tell you that that doesn't work in a Nissan. You actually have to get the oil changed or know somebody that's got the little tool that will turn it off for you. My car tells me when I need to air up a tire. And that, again, I appreciate the advice. You know, it's asking, you know, it's telling me that it needs a little more air in the tire. But, you know, 26 pounds of pressure, you know, really at about 19, I think that it's time to pull over and actually put air in the tire. The check engine light. Shanna's not here this morning. Those of you that know Shanna, I'll tell her this personally, so I'm not talking about her. But she posted a picture on Facebook last night, and she was driving, and her car told her, "Don't you think it's time to pull over and take a rest?" So the car was letting her know that she was tired. And apparently Shanna's as good at taking advice as I am, because I think that that picture showed her doing 70, and she was in the driver's seat. So warning lights are just kind of, you know, something that we are good at ignoring, good at justifying. I think that we can all agree that we struggle with sin. We all agree that most of the time, our check engine light is on. What we need to do is make sure that we're focused and not ignoring the warning signs. That's where asking God to be our guide in this examination comes in. It's so important that we have the right voices, the right guidance, when we look for a way to deal with the issues in our lives, both real world and spiritual. David knew this, and we know it. We just have to remember how important it is. Because if it was up to us, we might be like Sheldon and Penny.
Oh.
What?
Studies have shown that performing tasks such as eating, talking on a cell phone, or drinking coffee while driving reduces one's reaction time by the same factor as an ounce of alcohol.
Do you have any alcohol?
Of course not.
Too bad.
You're going up Euclid Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Leonard takes Los Robles Avenue.
Well, good for Leonard.
Euclid Avenue is shorter as the crow flies, but it has speed bumps, which appreciably increase point-to-point drive time, making it the less efficient choice. But you have the con.
Oh!
Of course, if you're not going to slow down to the speed bumps, I withdraw my previous objection. Here's a fun question. Do you know what the most common street name is?
No.
The answer's tricky. It's Second Street. You see, you'd think it would be First Street, but in most towns, First Street eventually gets renamed to something else. You know, like Main Street, Broad Street, Michigan Avenue. You know, Leonard and I often use our commute time to exercise our minds with brain teasers like that. We also play games. Would you like to play one?
No.
Oh, come on. It's fun. Woo! Another bump.
Sometimes the voices in our head get a little noisy. If you're anything like me, Sheldon there sounds a whole lot like my inner thoughts. My thoughts flow from one subject to another, and that doesn't change even when I'm doing some self-evaluation. I can start listing struggles and sins in my life pretty quickly. I can see the idolatry light, the love of the world's possession light. Currently that one's blinking red. I have a dashboard full of warning lights, but if I'm honest, I focus on the small stuff and I ignore the big glaring lights. I see that prayer life light over there. But today I'm going to tackle the listening to more worship music. Most of the time I take the easy way out. But sometimes I can go to this place of extreme conviction where I start to lose my way and I can't see anything but the sin in my life. I need help navigating my soul. I need a spiritual GPS. I need the creator of all. I need my maker, the one who knows me, the one that knitted me together. This is why I say, as David said, "Search me, Lord, find my anxious thoughts." Now, I'm fairly certain that not many people out there are using Sheldon Cooper as a stand-in for the Holy Spirit. But this example came to me very clearly. Every day I set out on my spiritual commute, driving my soul. You know, it's a Kia, it has the hamster commercials. In this commute, I hit all kinds of traffic, and my passenger sometimes doesn't know when to stop.
Do you want to go again?
How about we just have a little quiet time now?
All right. I'm sorry. I'm finding your reckless nonchalance regarding the check engine light to be very troubling.
Get out.
Well, I have to tell you that while I do have a theoretical understanding of the workings of an internal combustion engine, I'm not sure I'm capable of performing diagnostics.
I said get out.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
I'm sure that I'm the only one here that at times has pulled over and told the Lord that I don't need his help anymore. A few weeks ago, Bob talked about the act of rebellion, that moment when you make the choice between your way and God's way. In those moments of rebellion, the enemy rejoices. I'm here to tell you that when I struggle, I don't want anyone in there with me. I start to push other people away. I stop listening to friends. I stop listening to family. I stop listening to the Lord. It's so much easier to ignore the warning lights when I'm all alone in the car. I can pretend that they don't exist. I talked before about how I justify the warning lights in my car, and I'm not any different in my spiritual life. But we can't let ourselves fall into that trap. Bob talked last week about the danger of pride, the fact that our enemy will give up a great curse if it means that pride will enter our lives. This act of ignoring the warning lights is just another example of that. When we refuse to ask the Lord for help, we're showing pride in our ability to solve the situation ourselves. When we ignore the warning lights in our spiritual life, just like we do in our real life, there are dire consequences. The next clip I'm going to show you takes place many TV years later, many seasons after the first one did. Sheldon and Penny have grown a lot over the years, but is it enough?
Thanks again for taking me to the pharmacy.
Oh, it's no problem. Is everything okay?
Oh, I'm fine. It's just some stomach medication for my trip. There's a remote yet distinct possibility that I may end up in South America.
Remember the old days when I would have said something dumb like, why? That doesn't sound good.
Remember the old days when I used to point out that your check engine light was on?
Yes.
I'm gonna get ready to stroll down memory lane. Penny, your check engine
light. Yeah, I know, it's on, Sheldon. Oh, no, I cannot afford this right now.
Maybe it's just something minor. Oh, good news, the light just went out.
I don't know about you, but in the context of this illustration, that scene is full of symbolism. Here we are back in the car, and it would appear that over time, Sheldon has stopped telling Penny about her warning light. He's learned that she no longer cares to hear his warnings. If you watch the show regularly, other people have actually tried to tell Penny about the warning lights. In one scene, Sheldon's soon-to-be girlfriend tells Penny that the check engine light is on. Penny doesn't even have a chance to respond because Sheldon tells Amy that he's given up on the warning, that it isn't worth the time. We need to do a few things to make sure that we avoid this trap. Be aware. We all have warning lights right now. Some may only come on at some times. Some of them may be yellow. They're just a warning. Some of them may be red. Let's follow David's example and ask for help in the process. Ask the Lord to examine us, to test us, to reveal the issues that we need to address. We need to be focused. Once you see a warning light, make sure that you're doing maintenance on it like you should. Journal, talk to friends, talk to the Lord, but don't wander away. Don't chase squirrels. We're in such an instant gratification world that it's hard to stay focused on anything for any amount of time. And lastly, Be thankful. The knowledge of Psalm 139 is enough to fill your spiritual tank for a lifetime. When you have a light that you're working on and you can't seem to beat it, our Lord knows your struggles. He put you together. You were perfectly made. So when you can't find encouragement in your spiritual maintenance, go back to the Word. I'm going to reread Psalms 139. This time I'm going to read it from the Message. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd be there in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration, what a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I had even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all those godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, oh God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me. Test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, then guide me on the road to eternal life. We need to watch our dash for warning lights. When they pop up, we need to be aware. We need to be focused, and we most of all need to be thankful. As a child of God, born again through faith, we will come home and be with our Father when this earthly body is done. Some of us will be greeted as good and faithful soldiers. Some of us will come home more like the prodigal son. Either way, our Father, our Creator, has made a place for us at His table. Thank you, guys.